the voice of Christ. My child, you should give all for all and in no way belong to yourself. You must know that self-love is more harmful to you than anything else in the world. In proportion to the love and affection you have for a thing, it will cling to you more or less. If your love is pure, simple, and well-ordered, you will not be a slave to anything. Do not covet what you may not have. Do not possess anything that can hinder you or rob you of freedom. It is strange that you do not commit yourself to me with your whole heart, together with all that you can desire or possess. Why are you consumed with foolish sorrow? Why are you wearied with unnecessary care? Be resigned to my will, and you will suffer no loss. If you seek this or that, if you wish to be in this place or that place, to have more ease and pleasure, you will never rest or be free from care. For some defect is found in everything, and everywhere someone will vex you. To obtain and multiply earthly goods, then, will not help you, but to despise them and root them out of your heart will aid. This, understand, is true not only of money and wealth, but also of ambition for honor and desire for empty praise, all of which will pass away with this world. The place matters little if the spirit of fervor is not there, nor will peace be lasting if it is sought from the outside. If your heart has no true foundation, that is, if you are not founded in me, you may change, but you will not better yourself. For when occasion arises and is accepted, you will find that from which you fled and worse. A prayer for cleansing the heart and obtaining heavenly wisdom. Strengthen me by the grace of your Holy Spirit, O God. Give me the power to be strengthened inwardly and to empty my heart of all vain care and anxiety, so that I may not be drawn away by many desires, whether for precious things or mean ones. Let me look upon everything as passing, and upon myself as soon to pass away with them, because there is nothing lasting under the sun, where all is vanity and affliction of spirit. How wise is he who thinks thus? Give me, Lord, heavenly wisdom to learn above all else, to seek and find you, to enjoy and love you more than anything, and to consider other things as they are, as your wisdom has ordered them. Grant me prudence to avoid the flatterer and to bear patiently with him who disagrees with me. For it is great wisdom not to be moved by the sound of words, nor to give ear to the wicked flattering siren. Then I shall walk safely in the way I have begun. The 28th chapter, Strength Against Slander. The Voice of Christ. My child, do not take it to heart if some people think badly of you and say unpleasant things about you. You ought to think worse things of yourself and to believe that no one is weaker than yourself. Moreover, if you walk in the Spirit, you will pay little heed to fleeting words. It is no small prudence to remain silent in evil times, to turn inwardly to me, and not to be disturbed by human opinions. Do not let your peace depend on the words of men. Their thinking well or badly of you does not make you different from what you are. Where are true peace and glory? Are they not in me? He who neither cares to please men nor fears to displease them will enjoy great peace. For all unrest and distraction of the senses arise out of disorderly love and vain fear. The 29th chapter. How we must call upon and bless the Lord when trouble presses. The Disciple. Blessed be your name forever, O Lord, who have willed that this temptation and trouble come upon me. I cannot escape it, yet I must fly to you, that you may help me and turn it to my good. Now I am troubled, Lord, and my heart is not at rest, for I am greatly afflicted by this present suffering. Beloved Father, what shall I say? I am straitened in harsh ways. Save me from this hour to which, however, I am come, that you may be glorified when I am deeply humbled and freed by you. May it please you then to deliver me, Lord, For what can I, poor wretch that I am, do, or where can I go without you? Give me patience, Lord, even now. Help me, my God, and I will not be afraid, however much I may be distressed. But here in the midst of these troubles, what shall I say? Your will be done, Lord. I have richly deserved to be troubled and distressed, but I must bear it. Would that I could do so patiently until the storm passes and calm returns. Yet your almighty hand can take this temptation from me, or lighten its attack so that I do not altogether sink beneath it, as you, my God, my mercy, have very often done for me before. And the more difficult my plight, the easier for you is this change of the right hand of the Most High. The 30th chapter. The quest of divine help and confidence in regaining grace. The voice of Christ. My child, I am the Lord who gives strength in the day of trouble. Come to me when all is not well with you. Your tardiness in turning to prayer is the greatest obstacle to heavenly consolation. For before you pray earnestly to me, you first seek many comforts and take pleasure in outward things. Thus all things are of little profit to you, until you realize that I am the one who saves those who trust in me, and that outside of me there is no worthwhile help, or any useful counsel, or lasting remedy. But now, after the tempest, take courage. Grow strong once more in the light of my mercies, for I am near, says the Lord, to restore all things not only to the full, but with abundance and above measure. Is anything difficult for me? Or shall I be as one who promises and does not act? Where is your faith? Stand firm and persevere. Be a man of endurance and courage, and consolation will come to you in due time. Wait for me. Wait, and I will come to heal you. It is only a temptation that troubles you, a vain fear that terrifies you. Of what use is anxiety about the future? Does it bring you anything but trouble upon trouble? Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. It is foolish and useless to be either grieved or happy about future things, which perhaps may never happen. But it is human to be deluded by such imaginations, and the sign of a weak soul to be led on by suggestions of the enemy. For he does not care whether he overcomes you by love of the present or fear of the future. Let not your heart be troubled, therefore, nor let it be afraid. Believe in me and trust in my mercy. When you think you are far from me, then often I am very near you. When you judge that almost all is lost, then very often you are in the way of gaining great merit. All is not lost when things go contrary to your wishes. You ought not judge according to present feelings, or give in to any trouble whenever it comes, or take it as though all hope of escape were lost. And do not consider yourself forsaken if I send some temporary hardship, or withdraw the consolation you desire. For this is the way to the kingdom of heaven, and without doubt it is better for you and the rest of my servants to be tried in adversities, than to have all things as you wish. I know your secret thoughts, and I know that it is profitable for your salvation to be left sometimes in despondency, lest perhaps you be puffed up by success, and fancy yourself to be what you are not. What I have given, I can take away and restore when it pleases me. What I give remains mine, and thus when I take it away, I take nothing that is yours, for every good gift and every perfect gift is mine. If I send you trouble and adversity, do not fret or let your heart be downcast. I can raise you quickly up again and turn all your sorrow into joy. I am no less just and worthy of great praise when I deal with you in this way. If you think aright and view things in their true light, you should never be so dejected and saddened by adversity, but rather rejoice and give thanks, considering it a matter of special joy that I afflict you with sorrow and do not spare you. As the Father hath loved me, so also I love you. I said to my disciples, and I certainly did not send them out to temporal joys, but rather to great struggles, not to honors, but to contempt, not to idleness, but to labors, not to rest, but to bring forth much fruit in patience. Do you, my child, remember these words? The 31st chapter. To find the Creator, forsake all creatures. The disciple. O Lord, I am in sore need still of greater grace, if I am to arrive at the point where no man and no created thing can be an obstacle to me. For as long as anything holds me back, I cannot freely fly to you. He that said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I might fly away and be at rest, desire to fly freely to you. Footnote 35, Psalm 54, 7. Who is more at rest than he who aims at nothing but God, and who more free than the man who desires nothing on earth? It is well then to pass over all creation, perfectly to abandon self, and to see in ecstasy of mind that you, the Creator of all, have no likeness among all your creatures, and that unless a man be freed from all creatures, he cannot attend freely to the divine. The reason why so few contemplative persons are found is that so few know how to separate themselves entirely from what is transitory and created. For this indeed great grace is needed, grace that will raise the soul and lift it up above itself. Unless a man be elevated in spirit, free from all creatures, and completely united to God, all his knowledge and possessions are of little moment. He who considers anything great except the one immense eternal good will long to be little and lie groveling on the earth. Whatever is not God is nothing and must be accounted as nothing. There is great difference between the wisdom of an enlightened and devout man and the learning of a well-read and brilliant scholar, for the knowledge which flows down from divine sources is much nobler than that laboriously acquired by human industry. Many there are who desire contemplation, but who do not care to do the things which contemplation requires. It is also a great obstacle to be satisfied with externals and sensible things, and to have so little of perfect mortification. I know not what it is, or by what spirit we are led, or to what we pretend, we who wish to be called spiritual, that we spend so much labor and even more anxiety on things that are transitory and mean, while we seldom or never advert with full consciousness to our interior concerns. Alas, after very little recollection we falter, not weighing our deeds by strict examination. We pay no attention to where our affections lie, nor do we deplore the fact that our actions are impure. Remember that because all flesh had corrupted its course, the great deluge followed. Since then, our interior affection is corrupt. It must be that the action which follows from it, the index, as it were, of our lack of inward strength, is also corrupt. Out of a pure heart come the fruits of a good life. People are wont to ask how much a man has done, but they think little of the virtue with which he acts. They ask, is he strong, rich, handsome, a good writer, a good singer, or a good worker? They say little, however, about how poor he is in spirit, how patient and meek, how devout and spiritual. Nature looks to his outward appearance. Grace turns to his inward being. The one often errs, the other trusts in God and is not deceived. The 32nd chapter, Self-Denial and the Renunciation of Evil Appetites. The Voice of Christ. My child, you can never be perfectly free unless you completely renounce self. For all who seek their own interest and who love themselves are bound in fetters. They are unsettled by covetousness and curiosity, always searching for ease and not for the things of Christ. often devising and framing that which will not last, for anything that is not of God will fail completely. Hold to this short and perfect advice. Therefore, give up your desires and you will find rest. Think upon it in your heart, and when you have put it into practice, you will understand all things. The disciple. But this, Lord, is not the work of one day, nor is it mere child's play. Indeed, in this brief sentence is included all the perfection of holy persons. The voice of Christ. My child, you should not turn away or be downcast when you hear the way of the perfect. Rather, you ought to be spurred on the more toward their sublime heights, or at least be moved to seek perfection. I would this were the case with you, that you had progressed to the point where you no longer loved self, but simply awaited my bidding in His whom I have placed as Father over you. Then you would please me very much, and your whole life would pass in peace and joy. But you have yet many things which you must give up, and unless you resign them entirely to me, you will not obtain that which you ask. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, fire tried, that thou mayest be made rich. Rich in heavenly wisdom, which treads underfoot all that is low. Footnote 36. Apocrypha 3:18. Put aside earthly wisdom, all human self-complacency. I have said, exchange what is precious and valued among men for that which is considered contemptible. For true heavenly wisdom, not to think highly of self and not to seek glory on earth, does indeed seem mean and small and is well nigh forgotten. As many men praise it with their mouths, but shy far away from it in their lives. Yet this heavenly wisdom is a pearl of great price, which is hidden from many. The 33rd chapter. Restlessness of soul, directing our final intention toward God. The voice of Christ. My child, do not trust in your present feeling, for it will soon give way to another. As long as you live, you will be subject to changeableness in spite of yourself. You will become merry at one time and sad at another, now peaceful but again disturbed, at one moment devout and the next indevout, sometimes diligent while at other times lazy, now grave and again flippant. But the man who is wise and whose spirit is well instructed stands superior to these changes. He pays no attention to what he feels in himself or from what quarter the wind of fickleness blows, so long as the whole intention of his mind is conducive to his proper and desired end. For thus he can stand undivided, unchanged, and unshaken, with the singleness of his intention directed unwaveringly toward me, even in the midst of so many changing events. And the purer this singleness of intention is, with so much the more constancy does he pass through many storms. But in many ways the eye of pure intention grows dim, because it is attracted to any delightful thing that it meets. Indeed, it is rare to find one who is entirely free from all taint of self-seeking. The Jews of old, for example, came to Bethany, to Martha and Mary, not for Jesus' sake alone, but in order to see Lazarus. The eye of your intention, therefore, must be cleansed so that it is single and right. It must be directed toward me, despite all the objects which may interfere. The 34th chapter. God is sweet above all things, and in all things to those who love Him. The disciple. Behold my God and my all. What more do I wish for? What greater happiness can I desire? O sweet and delicious word, but sweet only to him who loves it, and not to the world or the things that are in the world. My God and my all,